brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today in this recording of the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. I pray that you've been having a wonderful day and that you've been praising and worshiping your Lord. He is alive and He is real. And that you've thanked Him for something today. And if you haven't, we've got plenty to thank the Lord for, don't we? And we thank Him on purpose. And we worship Him on purpose. Thanksgiving and worship are two different things. Worship is giving Him, is praising the Lord for who He is and everything about His person. That's worship, is admiring Him. And thanksgiving is thanking Him for what He has done and for what He is doing. And praise the Lord for all our promises that we have in the Word of God. And you should take them literally, and you should claim them, and you should believe them, and go believing. And don't let anybody take that book away from you. Anybody. Don't let anybody take God's Word away from you, because that is the main mission of the enemy and the world and the devil and even your flesh, that wants to take that book away from you and keep you from being around that book. It's amazing. It really is. But it's true. It's true. It's absolute truth. You test it out for yourself. See if your flesh likes being around that book or not. You already know the answer. See, and to say that the enemy is not trying to resist you trying to keep you from being around that book is nonsense. And to say that the world is not trying to influence you to be away from that book is nonsense also. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's all down through history. And when you read and study history, and I'm not no history expert, but from the history that I have read, it's never changed. All down through history, the enemy has hated that book. He's hated God's Word. And if he can get that Bible away from you, he's got you in a headlock. He sure does. So don't ever give up the Word of God. You have to fight to keep reading God's Word. Sometimes it's like trying to pull a mule out of the field, and sometimes it is so, it's just as sweet that you can't put it down. But either way, it's rewarding and it's prospering. And the Lord commands us to read His Word. And He doesn't command us because He's a tyrant. He commands us for our benefit. This is what you need to do, Thurman. You need to read my word and study my word and rightly divide it and understand it and show me that you're sincere and you really want to know my word and you want to seek after me. The Lord said seek after Him like riches, like gold, like if you had a treasure map and you knew that there was a big treasure at the end of it, man, you do everything in your power. The Lord said you go sell everything you got to buy that pearl. Sell everything. Well, that's the way the Lord talks about His Word. You are to put everything at stake on God's Word. Now, don't listen to all these educated, and I ain't against education. I'm against the ones that love their education. And they make a god out of their education. Don't listen to them idiots. They try to tell you, even the enemy, even the people that hate the Word of God and the enemies of God in the body, even the people that hate God, they don't walk around trying to take your Bible away from you. They might talk to you like you're a fool and persecute you and everything else, but they don't try to take your Bible away from you. Only educated idiots try to take your Bible and talk your Bible down. Why would you discourage somebody from believing God's Word? Why would you do that for any reason? Or to cause confusion in somebody about God's Word or about the truth for any reason? If somebody's got just a little bit just a little bit of God's Word, and they're seeking it, and they're a child and a babe in Christ, why would you discourage that for any reason? A fool would. And somebody that's proud of his education and thinks that he needs to be worshipped would. And if that's you, stop it. And if it's not you and you're educated, use your education to give God glory. And then it'll be worth something. Amen? All right. Well, today, I want to tell you, first of all, that we're going to go into a part of this questions often asked. And we've been talking about sexed. What about the sexed? What about the sexed, sexual love, and sexual perversion? Now, in our past audios, we have so far been over and talked about the sexes. I think on the last one, left out of that portion of the question and went into sexual love between the divided, between the sexed, male and female. Now, never forget what sex means and what sex came from. We've been through all the history of it, not all of it, but enough to realize that it's not defined as it was when it originated, okay? The original definition of it matches the Word of God in Genesis and what God did in making man and woman. Makes perfect sense. Any fool could look at it and say, yeah, that matches. But we talked about sexual love last recording and got into it, and we finished it or completed that portion of it. Now, today we're going to go into a part of this study that, there's probably going to be some people that just don't like the way that this is going to be put out. But I told you, this is the ABCs of Christian growth. And today we're going to learn the ABCs of sexual perversion. Okay? And this is what the part that we're going to go over today, and we're going to try to get on through this. This is the trash can part of this study, okay? And this is what the Lord, this is the part in the scriptures where the Lord talked so many times about Israel, and so many times, and the Lord used almost every one of these words talking about Israel and how she fornicated and how she adulterated and how she was prostituting herself and fornication and all these things. And there are some in here that have come about, but none of this is strange to the Bible. This stuff has been around since man has been around. The Lord destroyed the first earth, okay, because of this garbage. And then he flooded the world and killed everybody because of this garbage. And it's trash can stuff. And that's what sexual perversion part of the divided is the trash can part of the sexed. Okay? Male and female, the divided, the sexed, male and female. That's what we're going to talk about today. We define perversion a turning from truth. Did you get that? In other words, you knew the truth and you turned from it. You wasn't born that way. You knew what the truth was and you turned from it. That's perversion, to pervert something. A turning from truth, or from the proper use or meaning, turning to a wrong use, misrepresentation or corruption. That's what perversion is. Now, perverse is persistent in wrong, deviating from the normal, right or true, obstinate. To be perverse is that. Obstinate, and to be obstinate, is tenaciously unwilling or marked by tenacious unwillingness to yield. Stubbornly persistent in wrongdoing. Resistant to guidance or discipline, tending to do the opposite of what is normal or wanted. And that's the way your world is now. That's the way society is now. That's the way people are now. And this flesh is running rampant in America like never before. Never before. You are watching the red, white, and blue turn black. Sexual perversion. You'll notice that it degresses and gets worse as we define it. It starts out perversion. it goes into perverse and then obstinate. You could care less what anybody thinks about what you do. And that's the way the attitude of the ungodly today. They could care stinking less about what you think about it. As a matter of fact, the more trashier it is, the better it is. And looky what we can do. And even the Bible describes that. The Bible says that they not only do it and take pleasure in it, but they take pleasure in those others that do it. They cheerlead them. Now, I want to say this before we get started with this, and I want to let you know that if you're letting your children or your teenagers, I don't know, you're going to have to use God's wisdom about this, because this is not going to be I've prayed about this, and I'm going to do it, and we're going to define this stuff, and we're going to name it for what it is. But it ain't going to be a bunch of cuss words and filthy and nastiness and ungodliness. It's going to be studying about what God has already listed in the Word of God and said that is going on and continues to go on, and it's an abomination to the Lord, and the Lord makes the Lord want to vomit. But the majority of people have never heard this stuff defined. And what it is, and what the acts are of this mess, and how you could look at something and say, that's adultery, or how you could look at something and say, that's prostitution, or how you can look at something and say, that's incest. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to define it, and then we're going to break it down to each one of them, and we're going to see what the Bible says about it. And we're going to go through there and see what God thinks about it. And you're going to find out that it's not new news in the Scriptures. Now, there are some of you out there listening right now that say, Brother TV, you shouldn't say things like that. Well, the Bible, Jesus Christ said stuff like that. He said he'll wipe dung in your face. And he says he'll have you eaten by the fowls and let them go out there in the field and spit you out and let you be dung on the face of the earth. Now, you going to tell Jesus Christ not to talk like that? He's God, buddy. So if you don't like listening to this stuff and it offends you, I'm sorry. But it's Bible. Okay? And if you don't want to listen to this part, it's not going to be nasty, but it is going to be to the point. Okay? And we're going to go through this, and we're going to see what God's Word says, and by the time you get out the other side, you're going to say, man, that's truth. And you're going to see where God's Word is not ashamed to name it like it is. That's what truth is calling it what it is. Not all this deceitful garbage that's in the world now that you can't describe because it's got four or five different meanings. Bad is good, and good is bad, and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah. And the Lord said, cursed is the man that calleth good bad and bad good. So we're going to get into this, and I would recommend that you not let your little ones listen to this, because you know the enemy could take it and just mess it up in their minds or something like that. And besides that, they don't need to hear all this stuff. What the Lord would have them ignorant to this kind of stuff. It's too bad that they even go to their schools and hear this kind of garbage. But we keep that stuff out of the children's minds until they get big enough to where they can and mature enough in the Lord and are saved, and then they have God, the Holy Ghost, in there that can make sense of it for them and show them what the difference in good and evil is. Okay, so if you're letting your children listen to these, I would recommend that you not let them listen to this part or whatever you choose, okay? Because from here on, we're going to be naming this filth, the garbage can part of the sext, and seeing how the world sees this garbage and what they're doing with it. And it's going to be extensive. And then whenever we're done with this part, we will have finished this question. What about the sext, sexual love, and sexual perversion? Okay? So let's begin. First thing, we've made our definitions of what sexual perversion is. I'll read them one more time. Perversion. To be perverse is to turn from the truth or from the proper use or meaning. Turning to a wrong use, misrepresentation, or corruption. To be perverse is persistent in wrong. You won't stop doing wrong. That's perverse. You are perverse. Okay, deviating from the normal, right or true. Obstinate. You not only deviate from the normal right or true and are persistent in doing wrong, but you're obstinate about it. And what does obstinate mean? Tenaciously unwilling and marked by tenacious unwillingness to yield. In other words, you don't care what anybody thinks or anybody says. I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm going to do wrong, and I'm going to like it. You're stubbornly persistent in wrongdoing. That's obstinate. Resistance to guidance or discipline. You won't take any kind of advice from anybody. You want your sin, and you want it all. And you're obstinate about it. Don't tell me what to do, how to do, when to do, or who to do it with. Me, me, own boss. Tending to do the opposite of what is normal or wanted is being obstinate. Not only are you persistent in perverseness and being pervert, but you're proud of it. And if anybody tries to tell you what's right and wrong, you tend to do the opposite of what is normal and wanted and put it in other people's face, put it in the right people's faces. And you're proud of it. That's called obstinate. That's perverse. That's perversion. And what we're talking about is sexual perversion. We're not talking about sexual as in the way that the world describes sexual in its perverted manner and stupidity about the definition of the word. They have no idea what the word come from. But we've studied that. Now, when we say sexual perversion, we're talking about the divided, the sexed, the male and female, and how they pervert and pervert sexual perversion, and how male and female are perverted in this manner, according to what the Bible says. Okay, we're not talking about what we think and what our opinion is. Our opinion is what the Word of God says. So let's see what the Word of God says. Now, what are the different kinds of perversion of the sexed, male and female, found in God's Word? And how are they described? Well, let's talk about that. But first, let's read a couple scriptures out of the Word of God, and let's see how God begins to talk about this sexual perversion matter. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts." So see, the heart's involved in this perversion. "To dishonor their own bodies between themselves." So the heart is lusting, and when it lusts, when the perversion enters in and the ungodliness enters in and it is entertained, the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. So not only does it involve the heart, it involves the bodies. The bodies of what? The bodies of the sexed, the male and female, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, the prior, what we just got through reading, that they were obstinate and they didn't want to change and they dishonored their own bodies and they followed after the lust of their own heart and they changed the truth of God into a lie. For this cause, God gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, most of your perverts and perversion that goes on in the world today, no matter what classification it falls in under this filth and this garbage, one thing is evident in all of them. They don't want God around. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He said, you want to think like this? You want this filth in your mind? Okay, there you go. And the Lord actually stops trying to resist and to convict them of the filth that they're trying to keep in their minds and grow in their minds, and the lust gets worse and worse, and the filth gets worse and worse, and the trash can just gets nastier and nastier. And the Bible says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Now, we're talking about the sexed. We're not talking about the aliens and the cartoons and all this kind of garbage and imagination. We're talking about what God says about the male and the female. He just mentioned them up there a minute ago. He said the women burned in their lust and then the men done just like them. He didn't say transgender. He didn't say transqueer. He didn't say all these other different things that these people are coming up with. He said male and female, man and woman. This is where this stuff comes from. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they've gotten so perverse and obstinate that God, the Holy Ghost, says, okay, if that's the way you want it, I'm not going to fight you no more. I'm going to let you just corrupt and trash can your mind and your heart just as much as you want. Go ahead. You want to be obstinate and you don't want to listen to what's right and you want to resist and fight me? The Holy Ghost says, okay, have it your way, buddy. Let's see how it turns out. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they not only doing it for themselves, but they're cheerleading everybody else to be a part of it. That's not all. And 2 Peter, and over in, 2 Peter and chapter 2, and beginning at verse 12, Peter had something to say about this matter too. You'd be surprised how much this subject is all throughout the scriptures. The sexed and perversion. If you got man and you got woman and you got sin, you got perversion. In 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 12 through 22, the Bible says, but these, as natural brute beasts,
made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. The Bible says, just pausing just for a minute, I was thinking of another verse. The Bible says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. God says, you ain't got to worry about me destroying you. You're going to take yourself out. Speak evil of those things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. The worst hadn't got here yet, buddy. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They dragging others into it with them. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit, his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Does that sound like God doesn't, God and His Word doesn't know anything about perversion? The Lord would teach us about perversion and teach us what real perversion is like and what God says is pervert and who is obstinate. You see, this relativistic society that we live in and socialistic society that we live in now are just patting each other on the back for how wicked they are and laughing at one another and smiling and licking their lips and then encouraging one another to even be more wicked. And saying, where is God? Who is God? You're going to find out who He is. Just a matter of time. But the Bible is no stranger to talk about perversion and talk about sexual, the divided male and female perversion. Okay? All right? In Deuteronomy, let me find that and read that to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, the Bible says this. I got the wrong place here. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 through 29. Be right with you. Here it is. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Does that sound like a God? Does that sound like that sweet little loving, lovey-dovey Jesus that you talk about all the time? These are his rules about adultery, friend. The only reason you don't see this in America, this goes on in other places. And this was God's rules. This is his law. We're under grace. You say, yeah, but we're under grace. But he still feels this way about it. It's the grace that keeps this from happening. Don't you know that? If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shall thou put away evil from Israel. The Bible says, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. Did you notice what the Lord said the reason that you're stoning them for? That they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city. And the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her, see, the Bible's not stranger to rape either. Just a different name. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. But unto the damsel that shall do nothing, there is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. You've heard of shotgun marriages before, haven't you? The Bible is no stranger to perversion. And God has never said or made excuses for it whatsoever. He made a law. And he said, if you do this kind of perversion, this is the consequences. And before the law, they took care of the matters too. And after the law, in the New Testament, Paul addresses perversion and things of this matter. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Okay, now there's some good scripture for us to get started with to understand that the Bible is not a stranger to perversion and sexual, the divided, the sexed, male and female, perversion and the filth that goes on in the world by the lust of the flesh and the lust in the heart. So what are the different kinds of perversion and of the sexed, male and female, found in the God's Word? And how are they described? Well, the first one, let's go ahead and name them and define them. Now, I've done my very best to try to define this as best as I could in the scriptures. And if some of you, hopefully, some of you don't know more about this than at this study, we don't need to know more about it. It's pretty. You'll see what I'm talking about. Adultery. Adultery is first on our list. It is a perversion. It is listed in the Word of God. We've heard that spoken already. What is adultery? Adultery is sexual intercourse between male and female outside of the marriage bed. Extramarital sex that willfully and maliciously interferes with marriage relations. Sexual intercourse between individuals, male and female, who at least one is married, but not married to one another. So adultery is sexual intercourse, the male and the female coming together outside of the marriage bed, outside of a marriage relationship, whether one is married or not. If one of them's married, either one, the male or the female, it's adultery. If both of them are married, it's adultery. By the way, why do they call grown-ups adults? Adultery. I don't know if I like being called an adult or not. You know, the Bible doesn't use that word for grown-ups. It uses the word man and woman. It never calls a man and a woman an adult in the Scriptures. The only time it talks about adults is adultery, when man and woman are doing perverse things. The second one that we're going to define is called prostitution. Prostitution is found in the Scriptures. God uses it to talk about the nation of Israel and talk about other nations, especially the nation of Israel and the Jews, and his relationship between him and the Jewish nation. And the Lord talks about prostitution. Jesus Christ himself, when he was here, spoke to prostitutes and talked about prostitution. It's not foreign to the Scriptures. Prostitution, in definition, means the act or practice of promiscuous lewdness for gain. In other words, filthiness and perversion for money. To offer to a lewd use or to unchaste acts for gain. A woman who engages in promiscuous sexual relations for hire. Now, of course, we've seen where even men prostitute themselves. This is any kind of promiscuous lewdness for gain. You do filthy, nasty, ungodly things and for hire. In other words, you are rewarded for it, or it is you're doing it for hire. And mostly that the Scriptures talk about prostitution, you'll not see men in the Scriptures that I could find that were listed under prostitution. You could now, but not listed. Anytime the Lord and his word use prostitution, it's either for the nation of Israel and the Lord using it as a teaching thing to show to whip the nation of Israel, to spank them, or either to let them know that he's fixing to come down on them because of this behavior that they prostituted themselves away from him, and went after other things other than the Lord himself for lusts and things like that. And that's what prostitution is. Going is using lust and lewdness and promiscuity, using all that stuff through the lust for hire and for reward. Prostitution. There's another one, incest. The Bible talks about that in Deuteronomy. It talks about that in the law. I'm not sure that the Bible uses the word incest. I didn't see that. Now, if I'm wrong about some of this stuff, not wrong, but mistaken in what I'm saying, you correct me. Write me and tell me, and I'll correct myself. But this is not wrong. It's just, I don't know if the Bible uses the word incest. I know the Lord talks about incest in a lot of places. But incest.
Incest is carnal relations between persons that are related. Brother and sister, mother and son, daughter and father, sexual intercourse between persons too closely related to marry, as between a parent and a child, or a brother and a sister, or others. Incest. That's not all. We have adultery, we have prostitution, we have incest. All three of them are listed in the Scriptures, talked about in the Scriptures. The Lord says what He thinks about it in the Scriptures, and He says the penalty of it in the Scriptures, and it's all listed under sexual perversion or male and female perversion. The fourth one that we're going to talk about is homosexuality. The Bible doesn't use the word homosexuality. The Bible uses the word sodomite. The Bible uses the word perversion. It uses the word, the Lord is very careful about saying what He has to say about that because it's so filthy to Him. He calls it an abomination. As a matter of fact, the one that He, perversion as far as lust involving the body and involving the heart that the Lord destroyed cities over was sodomy and homosexuality and the things that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities, Admar and Zeboah. But there were five of them in all, but the Lord chose not to destroy Zoar because Lot wanted to run to that one. But He sure burned all the other four. But to see God's judgment directly against a perversion and because of perversion and listed in the Scriptures as a perverse, filthy, nasty, bodily, heart perverted thing, that's the one that the Lord used, and He burned them. Homosexuality is carnal lust or fleshly lust. Carnal lust. Carnal means flesh. Carnal lust between or lewd sexual acts between ones of the same sex or division. In other words, it's not male and female, it's male and male, or female and female. Homosexuality is what male and female commit when they are with the same sex, or the same division. Homosexuality. Carnal lust between or lewd sexual acts between ones of the same sex division. And that's not all. The next we find in the Scriptures is lesbianism. Lesbianism is not a word that's used in the Scriptures. It's called the same that we was called perversion. It's called sodomy. And rather than having a name of it, the Lord calls it perversion, ungodliness, unrighteousness, but lesbianism. Lesbianism is simply female homosexuality. It's also called sapphism. Sapphism is when two females come together and try to perform heterosexual acts, but two females. The Lord says it's filthy and it's an abomination. And it is listed and talked about in the Scriptures, but not under lesbianism. But that's what the name of it is now. Homosexuality is not just men. And the division of men is also the division of females and women. Lesbianism is just simply female homosexuality or sapphism. No males involved in that. That's not all. We talk about sodomy. Sodomy was a word that is used in Scripture.
used in many places. The Lord talks about sodomy. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about Sodomites. He talks about Israel destroying Sodomites and what happens to a nation when Sodomites start infiltrating it and are put up with and tolerated. He talks about the demise of countries and nations and how this perversion will bring a country down. Sodomy is defined as carnal or fleshly, involving the flesh, carnal, anal intercourse in any of several unnatural ways by both male and female, to practice anal sex upon. It's also called buggery. Buggery. Sodomy. The Lord hates that, and nowhere in the scriptures do you see the Lord ever being passive about the perversion of sodomy. That's not all. There's another one called bestiality. The Lord talks about bestiality. Bestiality, I'm not sure if it's in the scriptures. I think it's not listed as that name, but it does use the word beast. But the Lord just breaks it down and he says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. But he uses the word beast. But bestiality is the name of this perversion. And being defined, it is sexual activity between a person and an animal. It's also called zoorastia. It is defined as copulating with an animal. Bestiality. The Lord defines that and talks about that in the scriptures and what it is, and that he hates it, and that it's abomination for him, and that it's not natural, and that there is a penalty for it, and that a male and a female should not be attracted to that kind of perversion at all, and it's all carnal and it's all fleshly. And then one other, before we get into talking about breaking them down and talking about them in the scriptures and what the scripture says about them, is fornication. The Bible uses the word fornication all over the scriptures. Now, fornication is kind of an all-around perversion word used along with all the other ones. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that when you see fornication, it's not a specific perversion like sodomy. It's not specific. It is, fornication is listed along with in the same portion of scripture with adultery. The Lord calls adultery fornication. The Lord calls prostitution fornication. The Lord calls incest fornication. Homosexuality fornication. Lesbianism fornication. Sodomy fornication. And bestiality fornication. So fornication is kind of a, I don't know, umbrella over all these other perversions. And if you commit adultery, you have fornicated. If you prostitute, you have fornicated. If you commit incest, you have fornicated. So see, that's kind of how the scriptures bring it out. You can see it when you read it and you read about it. Now, the Bible does use the word fornicate or fornication by itself without any of the others. Okay? But fornication is defined as consensual sexual intercourse between two people not married to each other. Illicit sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, which does not, by law, amount to adultery. And then other lewd behavior outside of the marriage bed of both sexed. So fornication can also bring in other perversions that we have not listed. Perversions that the sexed commit on their own selves and with their own bodies. And such as that. So, in this recording, we've began our study of sexual perversion and what the Bible has to say about it. We've read Scripture from Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 through 22, and we also read Deuteronomy chapter 22, 22 through 29. And we see that the Lord is not... Nobody shames the Lord in saying what he wants to say. God says what he wants to say, and he don't ask anybody's opinion or what they think about it. God says what he wants to say, and he's righteous, and what he says is right all the time. And in the Scriptures, the Lord has brought all these things out that we've listed, not necessarily by the name that we listed it in, but by the act and by the perversion. Now, we're going to stop right there with the definitions of this garbage can. And we're going to stop right there. And next recording, we're going to begin to break these down and just take, for instance, adultery. And we're going to find out what the Bible uses as definitions of adultery. We're going to find out what it says concerning the results of the sin of adultery. We're going to see what the Bible says concerning also the forgiveness of adultery and what the Bible uses as examples of adultery. And then when we're done with that, we're going to move into whoredom and harlotry and prostitution. All of them listed in the Scriptures, all of them, and we're going to talk about the characteristics of it, the evils of it, the prohibitions concerning it. We're going to talk about what the Bible says are some examples of it, some figures of it, the relations that are prohibited as far as in incest. We're going to talk about the punishment for incest. Talk about what the Bible examples of it and who did it and the Scriptures having to do with incest. There's incest in the Bible. We're going to go into sodomy and talk about how it's prohibited and the prevalence of it in the Scriptures. Why, it was so prevalent at one time, they built the sodomized house and added it right on to the temple. We're going to talk about the removal of it by kings. We're going to talk about the riddance of it by Jehoshaphat. Talk about the reforms against sodomy and the continuance of it in the New Testament. And then we'll move into homosexuality and lesbianism and move right on down through talking about it in that manner. And get this thing described, spoken of as the Scriptures talk about it, how we should think about it when it comes to the Scriptures, and have the mind of the Lord concerning every one of these matters, and give God praise and glorify Him for being a holy and a just and a clean and an upright Lord that doesn't tolerate this garbage, and will take anybody and forgive anybody for any one of these things through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and forgive them for all eternity for these matters, and help them with cleaning them up and forgiving them and cleansing them and sanctifying them from every bit of this, if they want to. One thing about the Lord that's beautiful about Him but also deadly is that the Lord never forces anybody's will. One thing the Lord gives you free and allows you to continue it until you go into eternity is your will. He's not going to force your will. You want to be a pervert? You want to be a sodomite? You want to be a sexual pervert? The Lord will let you do that, and He's not going to stop you. But if you're one of His, woe unto you. He's going to tear your hind end up and make you wish you'd have stopped. But if you're not His, it don't make no difference to Him, because you're already sentenced. And when you die, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Nobody's going to get away with anything. The best thing to do is to confess your sins, forsake them, and turn to the Lord. And the Bible says that God stands ready to forgive. He wants to forgive you, but He's going to do it on His terms, not yours. You can't manipulate the Lord and praise His holy name that you can't manipulate. And one thing I respect about the Lord more than anything is that He won't let me manipulate Him, and He won't let anybody else manipulate Him. You come to Him, it has to be in sincerity and truth. So, there we go. We begin our study on the last portion of this question. Pretty mighty question, ain't it? What about sex? What about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? The Bible talks about all of it. Most people shy away from all this stuff, and there most pastors in the United States don't ever talk about this to the church. That's how come it goes on right in the assembly. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, read Corinthians. That stuff was going on way back when. Paul had to get on that one in a hurry. That a man was having his father's wife. So, nothing new, but God's opinion of it hasn't changed one bit. It's an abomination to Him, and He despises it. And if you're involved in it, you ought to quit it. You ought to turn to the Lord and tell Him you're sorry and confess your sin to Him and forsake it and accept God's grace and go and not ever do it again. Okay, we're going to stop right there, my friend. Thank you for joining in today. I told you it wasn't going to be that hard, but I think we got through it all right. Praise the Lord. Not an easy thing to talk about, but nevertheless, one of the most necessary, because this world is full of trash and filthiness and nastiness, just like a garbage can. And it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed by all pastors. So we're going to stop right there, and I guess we'll talk on the next recording. And I hope that you have a wonderful evening, and that you'll join us again. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And thank you for studying God's Word. You'll never go wrong with that. Bye-bye.